Good day, friends. Your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ are on the air again with a program based upon what the Word of God has to offer. Today on this station and during this period, we're going to begin a new series of broadcasts that we've simply entitled, Read It in Your Bible. You know, the important thing that I'm thinking about as I talk to you today is that as we go about the country preaching the gospel, we hear people offering what this person has to say and what the other individual has to say. People offer opinions about this and opinions about something else, and I'm sure that many of these people are very honest in what they offer, and undoubtedly there are good thoughts that come from their words and from their expressions. But I believe we're living in a day that certainly is as important as any day in which men have lived, in which the Bible is to be heard. And so when we talk about reading it in your Bible, we're talking about that which goes back to the authority of Jesus Christ and God. You know, Colossians 3:17 is a good scripture to remember, for there Paul was telling the brethren at Colossae, and it was also to be read at Laodicea, that whatsoever they did in word or deed, they would do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And this conveys the idea that Jesus as a king had offered teaching to them, and they were doing it by his authority. So on the broadcast again today, we're going to be emphasizing what the Bible has to offer. Now, we trust in this series that you'll stay with us for the 8 broadcasts that we'll be presenting, the Lord willing. And I might suggest to you, as a number of people that we talk to have made it a practice of keeping a pad of paper by their Bible and by their radio and jotting down the passages. At any time that you have questions, you feel free to send them in. Now, this is all sent to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ, right in your own community. And certainly we might say that these brethren are sending this to you not as a substitution for church attendance, but they're sending it to you as a spiritual assistant that you and your family might come to know God's Word better. So we're all in this together from the standpoint of studying God's Word, and I'm sure that, as it was stated in the Old Testament, the entrance of thy words giveth light, he giveth understanding to the simple or to the unlearned, that it'll help all of us. You know, we never can come to the place where we know too much about the Word of God. So today I want to begin with a very familiar statement that's found in the first chapter of 1 John. I'm sure that you've read this in your Bible time and time again, and I'm going to drop down to the 5th verse, and I want you to think at the outset of the magnitude of this great teaching. Then this is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The evidence of light is, of course, right along with God, because in the beginning we see the chaotic condition that existed, and then we find God brought order out of chaos. We also understand that the first thing that God created upon that very first day was light. Someone said to me some time ago, and no doubt you've thought of this, that God created light upon the first day, but the sun, moon, and stars were never created until the 4th day, according to the Genesis account. We believe this to be authentic. Well, this indicates that God truly is light, that God realizes that he must be identified with light in the mind of men, and it is also necessary for man to have both physical light and spiritual light if he is to exist physically and if he is to live spiritually. So the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. And truly, Jesus Christ came as God to this earth, and it was spoken of as Jesus being the light of the world. And as he was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, so he was the light of the world that made it possible for the lights to be turned on spiritually in the lives of so many people. But I want to go back to the accounting that's found in the fifth verse of this first chapter, 1 John. And no doubt if you're following us, you found that place by now. And when you recognize that God is light, then this light is to be reflected into your life and into my life. You see, if God is light, then when we have association with him or come to know him, we're going to be in the light as well. The point is brought out by Paul very clearly under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to see this connection on the broadcast today. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 that I'm sure you've read a number of times, there the apostle makes it very clear so that we can't misunderstand it when he said, you have been delivered from the power of darkness and you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, if Jesus is the light of the world, then when we come into the kingdom of Christ, we truly will be a part of the light. But in connection with this, we see the constant battle going on between light and darkness. And I want to cite some examples here from this same outstanding first chapter of 1 John, going down next to verse 6. And I want you to get this picture. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I think you can see how true this is. If we say that we have fellowship with him, in other words, we say that we've entered into Christ Jesus, we've become a part of him, the lights have been turned on in our life, but what are we doing? We're really walking in darkness. I think you can see this in the world today where there are people who profess to be Christians, but we find they're really walking in darkness. Now, this is not something that we gloat about. This is not something that we seek to say, well, I told you so. I knew you couldn't live the Christian life. But it's a serious situation because the individual who is aware of the fact that he has fellowship with God or he's entered into him or he's claiming that he has really knows down deep in his heart that if he's walking in darkness that there's something wrong. We lie and do not the truth. And I simply want to say to you as we talk to you on the broadcast today that I think you ought to consider how serious lying is to God. We mentioned to you some time ago that the first problem that faced the human family was a lie that was told by the serpent in the garden and apparently was believed by both Adam and Eve. The first problem that faced the early church was a problem of Ananias and Sapphira lying there in the city of Jerusalem to the Apostle Peter. That, of course, is found in the fifth chapter of Acts. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, a very strong indictment that's offered in the Word of God. And then again, Jesus said of the devil in John 8:44 that he is the father of lies. In him truly is not the truth. So you see, this is a much more serious charge than what we might think as we talk to you today. It goes much deeper than just we as we look at the surface. So if you say that you have fellowship with him, or you say I'm a Christian, and you're really walking in darkness, then you're guilty of lying and you do not the truth. But the other side of the coin is beautiful in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'd like to make it plain in this verse that in verse 7, as well as the other verses, that John is writing to those who are Christians, to those who had been born again. Their walk in the light indicates a true fellowship with Christ. Now, they'll have fellowship with their brethren. But I believe our first fellowship above all is that which must come with Jesus Christ. Paul let us in on this when he said in a very definite way in Galatians 3:27, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and that's a fellowship. It's an answer on the part of man to what Jesus offered in Matthew 11 during his personal ministry. Remember the teaching there in verse 28 when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He followed by saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He said that his burden indeed would be easy, and truly it would be light. What are we saying? We're simply saying when one comes into Christ Jesus, then he comes from the darkness into light. But someone says, how does the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from sin get into the picture? Well, the Son of God shed his blood. And there are two properties of that blood that I want you to think about with me today. The property of forgiveness and the property of life. And you see, the point is that this proves conclusively that even after we become Christians, even though we're walking in the light, we're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes. Have you ever walked down a street in broad daylight and perhaps stumbled and you wondered, why did I do that? Maybe there's something there that you didn't see. And so that can happen to the Christian, just like it happens to anyone else. But the blood of Jesus Christ is near, and by repenting and praying, calling upon our Heavenly Father because we are his children, that he told us he would forgive us of sin. So as Christ is present by us, and a part of us, so we understand his blood is there. If we say that we have no sin, he continues, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Self-deception is even worse we might say, than being deceived by someone else. And then the last two verses are outstanding in this chapter. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the Lord will do that. He'll take every sin away. Now, the confession of faith is not the same as the confession of sins. We confess our faith in Christ, that we believe Christ is the Son of God, as it was definitely taught in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's a confession of faith, that we believe that Christ is the Son of God. Like the Ethiopian and the chariot in the 8th chapter of Acts, after hearing Christ preached, and said, "See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" You remember Philip the evangelist said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And then he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." They followed that with immersion into Christ, and he went on his way rejoicing. That was a confession of faith. But the confession of sins is that which truly comes in the life of the Christian, repenting and praying, if perhaps the thought of our heart might be forgiven us. And then this last point that I want to leave with you is a sad point. We don't want to leave on a sad point, but think of it. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Don't look at sin and try to convince yourself that it isn't sinful. So here is a point of God being a light and our relationship to it. We hope that you're walking in the light today. If we can help you, please let us know. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ have brought you this broadcast again today. It's been good to be with you. We invite you to their services, and we trust that you'll tell a friend or neighbor about this broadcast and plan to be with us next time as we continue on dealing with Read It in Your Bible.